From the great and prolific Old Testament prophet Isaiah, we hear, "My ways are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts." How often we want and even pray that the opposite exists, that God bends over to meet our needs or our wants. "My ways are not your ways" also implies that his ways should become our ways, not the reverse. Such sentiments are then renewed by the Lord, who at the end of the parable of the vineyard reminds us of God's thinking, that the last will be first and the first last. Lest we be in doubt about that meaning, we hear the voice of eternal justice expound, "Have I no right to do what I like with my own?" Well, of course, Lord, is our answer. Or as some would exclaim today, absolutely. What is the bottom line here? The matter concerns justice. Justice is the most universal cardinal virtue in our families, the church, and the state. In each kind of society, justice, that is, one's rights and duties, is always paramount. When one steals from us, we are outraged, and rightly so, or we are cheated, and the wounds run deep. Last week, at Sunday Mass, we heard about the need to forgive and how important it is for our own well-being that we forgive from the heart. This weekend, the Gospel helps us to offset the onslaught of bitterness that comes from a lack of forgiveness by fostering a spirit of generosity. Being generous is no small deal. God's generosity to us far exceeds ours. Hence, "My ways are not your ways." Are we still not pondering those words spoken by our Lord to the man who was disgruntled for a perceived injustice in wages? Why be envious because I am generous, said the Lord. How often, when we think we are poorly done by and others have it so good, does the Lord whisper in our ears, "Why be envious because I am generous"? God's generosity far outweighs our ability with regards kindness and generosity to others. How remarkable is the Lord! In New Zealand, on the South Island, not far from Christchurch, there is a vast mountain range called the Remarkables, the tower over Queensland. How stunning they are. One remarkable story that towers over others is Victor Hugo's Le Miserable. Jean Valjean is the hero of the story, who had spent 19 years in the galleys, 5 years for stealing a loaf of bread, and 14 years for attempting to escape on four occasions. What an injustice. Now, once he was released, as the story goes, he received a yellow passport with which he was issued. That prevented him from being employed, for he had to show it to anyone wanting to employ him and depicted him as a very dangerous criminal. Hence, the likelihood of him being a success or making on roads anywhere was most limited. On the fourth day after his release, after Neil work and being hungry, tired and homeless, he knocked on the door of the local Catholic bishop. Bishop Bienvenu welcomed him with much kindness, as he did to all beggars. Once all were fed and in bed for the night, the first night that Jean Valjean had slept in a comfortable bed for years, he couldn't sleep. He was tempted by the nearby presence of 6 silver plates. Overcome with his plight, he succumbed and stole those plates with stealth and fled. The next morning, as the story goes, the police, having inspected his bags, found the silver plates and arrested him. At the door, with the culprit apprehended, the bishop, quickly assessing the situation, exclaimed, "Ah, there you are, my friend Jean Valjean. I'm so glad that you returned, for you forgot the silver candlesticks. I gave them to you also with the plates. Don't you recall? Why did you not take them too?" The police, at the bishop's word, released their prisoner and withdrew. The bishop, looking at the forlorn and dumbfounded man before him, said, "My brother, you belong no more to evil or darkness. With this silver, I am buying your soul." The story then by Victor Hugo goes on to explain how Jean Valjean, with this one act of generosity, saved his soul and it gave him hope and a future. It's a marvelous story because it's true in the sense that we are called to be generous, not envious. And an act of generosity, a true one, always involves a sacrifice because it costs. And with each sacrifice, we become more like Christ, whose generosity cost him his very life, the price of our souls. For isn't that not the meaning of the word redemption, to pay back a debt? In imitation of Christ, then, we are called likewise to give of ourselves, not according to strict justice, but in a heroic and generous manner, with what we possess, our time and efforts for others. In doing so, then, we can claim God's ways become our ways.